Hello and welcome to the Developmental Services Ontario's podcast. Today we are going to talk about step two of the Housing Toolkit, which is about reviewing housing options and locations. I'm your host, Val Baravi, Communication Specialist for DSO. In the studio with me today is Leanne Mayon and Kristen Emery, both of whom are housing navigators for DSO Hamilton Niagara Region. Welcome, Leanne and Kristen.
Thanks, Val.
Thank you, Val.
So Leanne, to get us started, let's talk about some of the things a person should be looking for in a rental. For example, what are some of the questions they should ask?
That's a great question, Val. I want to start off with saying that everything that Kristen and I speak about today can be found on the DSO Ontario website. There you'll find the Housing Toolkit link. So when looking for a rental, a person should consider what they like, what they dislike, and what they can afford. They should think about the locations of the rental, how many rooms would they need or want. They should also think about the expenses. Are the utilities included in the cost? Is the rental close to grocery stores and the pharmacy? How close is the rental to public transit? Is it within walking distance to bus routes? Are there needs around mobility? For example, is an elevator required? Or are stairs manageable? It's also important to keep in mind that rent and utilities should be less than 32% of one's total income.
Kristen, what is subsidized housing? Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So subsidized housing is often referred to as community or affordable housing. It's geared towards a person's income. This means that the amount of rent that you pay is calculated on your total household income. This usually works out to be about 30% of your total income. If you're receiving Ontario Works or Ontario Disability Support Program or ODSP, your rent would be calculated based on your monthly rent benefit and not your monthly income. For more information, or for those of you who have more questions about this, you can contact your local DSO Housing Navigator or your local housing registry. Many municipalities also offer housing allowances. Housing allowances are portable and they stay with the person. They can help to bridge the gap between the market rent of a unit and the rent that you can actually afford to pay. In many cases, the amount is set and may not completely cover the difference, but it will reduce the amount that you'd have to contribute for safe and affordable housing.
Thank you, Kristen. Leanne, what are the wait times for subsidized housing?
Val, wait times are going to vary depending on where you live in Ontario. For some, it could take anywhere from 7 to 10 years. In other areas, the wait time will be shorter. Generally, people who have been on the waiting list longer will be offered housing first. At this time, applications for social housing are processed and managed using this first-come, first-served approach, unless an applicant meets one of the priorities that have been set for their region. There are changes coming to the way the social housing registry lists are managed, and hopefully this will reduce wait times across the province. As you're waiting, we recommend that you make sure you provide any updates on your situation to your local social housing registry, be that a change in address or phone number. This will ensure they can contact you. While you're at it, don't forget to let your local DSO know of these changes as well.
Kristen, what is the process if a person has accessibility requests and special needs?
So Val, when people are applying or registering for social housing, they should make sure to note their special needs or any accessibility issues at the time that they apply. However, if people happened to apply already and didn't note this at the time of the application, they can certainly update their application at any time. People can ask also to be registered for accessible buildings and other specific things that they would need to meet their mobility or special needs for housing. For example, If the rental should have ramps or automatic doors, doorways, etc., in some cases, people may be able to apply for an additional bedroom if they need an overnight caregiver or even just extra space to house medical equipment.
Leanne, let's talk about the option of buying a home. What are some of the things a potential buyer should be asking?
Sounds good, Val. If you're thinking of buying a home, it may be helpful for you to make a wish list that identifies your needs in a home and neighborhood. Would you prefer a home in the city, or would you prefer a suburban neighborhood or rural location? How much space and how many bedrooms will you need? Is it important for you to have access to outdoor space, such as a balcony or yard? Is there parking? What local amenities and transit options will you need? Does the home need to be located close to school, work, recreational facilities, or healthcare services? To help you with your home purchase needs, complete the My Home Purchase Needs supporting document found on our toolkit. When completing this document, it's important that you know the difference between things that you would prefer and things that you need. Once you have a better idea of what you're looking for, you'll likely need to examine if you have the financial resources necessary to move forward with purchasing a home or condo. You'll need to consider the cost of housing. You'll have to think about mortgage payments, property taxes, utilities, and maintenance fees for some homes. These expenses should be no more than 32% of your average gross monthly income. Your monthly debt load, which means the total cost of your housing expenses, loans, leases, credit card payments, and other mortgage payments, should be no more than 40% of your average gross monthly income. You will want to think about what your upfront costs will be as well. Upfront costs include a down payment, a home inspection or appraisal fee, and insurance costs. In addition to these expenses, consider land registration fees, legal and real estate fees, taxes, moving costs, and perhaps even repairs or renovations required before moving in.
Kristen, are there any budgeting tools or mortgage calculators that can help with financial planning?
Yes, that's a great question. So, Val, there are several budgeting tools and mortgage calculators that are available to help people when they're thinking about the financial responsibilities of purchasing a home. Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, or CMHC, has made a few of these kinds of calculators available. A debt service calculator compares monthly debt payments and housing expenses to gross household income. There's also an affordability calculator that can help estimate how much mortgage or rent someone can actually afford. The mortgage calculator compares rates, payment frequency, amortization, and more so that people can find their best mortgage options. There are many links to these calculators and other resources also on our DSO Housing Toolkit website for reference.
Leanne, where can a person look for financial incentives or assistance?
There are a number of places to look. The First Time Home Buyers Incentive is a new program that offers 5% of a first-time buyer's purchase of existing home, or 5 or 10% of a first-time buyer's purchase of a new build. The home buyer's amount is available, and if you are a first-time buyer, you may qualify for a $5,000 tax credit. Home Ownership Program is a program that helps current renters interested in buying a home by providing you with a down payment assistance to purchase an affordable home. Through the Show Me the Green program, homeowners and landlords may have access to forgivable loans or grants for major repairs, to add extra living space to help with overcrowding, and to make the home more accessible. These loans and grants can also be used towards secondary or garden suites. Lastly, the Home Buyers Plan is a program that allows you to withdraw up to $35,000 for a single person and up to $70,000 for a couple from your Registered Retirement Savings Plan, RRSPs, if you have them, to build or buy a qualifying home for yourself or for a related person with a developmental disability.
Kristen, can you tell us a little bit about Habitat for Humanity? What is it exactly?
Yes, sure, Val. Habitat for Humanity is an organization that brings together communities to help families to build strength and stability and independence through the help of volunteers. They help to build safe, decent, and affordable homes, including single family as well as multi-unit houses. In some areas, Habitat for Humanity homes can also be built for people who choose to live together but are not related. In order to participate, people are expected to volunteer about 500 hours with Habitat organization. As Habitat owners, people pay off their interest-free mortgage. These funds are then invested into a revolving fund, which is then used by the local Habitat agency to build more homes for people who demonstrate a need for safe and affordable housing. For more information about Habitat for Humanity and some great success stories, people can look at the DSO Housing Toolkit website as well as visit the Habitat for Humanity website.
Leanne, can you tell us a little bit about the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation?
Yes, the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, or CMHC, helps Canadians meet their housing needs. They do have an extensive website, so I would encourage you to explore their site. From what I understand, there are many ways in which CMHC can help. Some ways include tools and information to help with buying a house or a condo. You'll also find rental rules and processes for building owners, landlords, and tenants, including resources and funding for new builds, conversions, and renovations. On the CMHC website, you will also find the latest trends, research, data, and insights on housing in Canada.
Kristen, what about a secondary suite? When is that a good option? Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So this is another great question and a good option for some. A secondary suite or legal basement apartment or even a coach house are great options to think about. They can provide some long-term sustainability while also giving your loved one a chance to learn and practice necessary life skills that help to build their independence. These options are a great way for people to age in place and remain close to the community that they've come to know and thrive in. A secondary suite can be a transitional living space that offers some independence, creates an income suite for a personal support worker, a student, or other similar support workers. A secondary suite can also help to plan for living supports for the future. It can also be renovated to provide future mobility or accessible needs as a person ages. If your loved one stands to inherit your home, then the legal suite can continue to be a source of income and to pay for any mortgage or upkeep or support costs. Long-term live-in supports are definitely an option with more than one self-contained living unit in the home. You may also be eligible for tax cuts and rebates if you build a legal apartment into or onto your existing home or property. It would be important to check your local zoning bylaws in your area, so be sure to research where your area stands on the creation of secondary suites. Also, there are helpful links and resources on the DSO Housing Toolkit website.
Thank you, Kristen. Leanne, what can you tell us about Indigenous housing options?
They do exist, Val, and in many cases, you don't need a status card. You simply need to self-declare to access Indigenous housing resources. If you Google Aboriginal Housing Services, you'll find that it's a corporation mandated to provide safe and affordable housing to urban and rural First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people living off-reserve in Ontario. You can apply for down payment assistance to purchase a home and funds for renovation and repairs through this service. You can also apply for rent geared to income in affordable housing units. We encourage you to connect with your social housing registry to see if housing for Indigenous people is available in your community. CMHC also provides some support through their Residential Rehabilitation Assistance Program, RRAP. This program helps First Nations to cover the cost of any major repairs on reserve that may be needed. CMHC also offers insured loans for eligible people to help with financing the building or renovating of housing projects. As mentioned previously, more information is available on the DSO provincial website, as well as the Aboriginal Housing Services website.
Kristen, sometimes retrofitting an existing home or apartment is the best alternative to independent living. Where does one begin when looking to retrofit an existing structure?
Yeah, so whether converting an area of your home into an independent suite or completely remodeling a home or apartment, there are a number of things to consider. For one, you'd want to think about if you're going to do the work yourself or maybe hire a contractor to do the work. If you decide that hiring a contractor is the best way to go, Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation has a good guide called Hiring a Contractor that offers useful tips, interview suggestions, and recommendations around obtaining estimates. Some other things that you'd want to think about, whether you do the work yourself or hire someone, is physical accessibility. Even if there are no needs right now, but perhaps there may be down the road, it is good to consider what's called a universal design principles, and this helps to plan for changing needs that are unforeseen right now. Another consideration is what's called smart home design. We all know that technology can be of great assistance with building independence. Technology is always changing, and there are some very progressive technologies that are entering the market every day to assist people with physical or cognitive limitations to live as independently as possible. Building or retrofitting your home is the perfect time to consider roughing in current or future potential technology needs. The Creating a Smart Home Tip Sheet is a good supporting document to know what you need to create a smart home environment. Another item to think about is sensory awareness environment considerations. For many individuals with autism or global developmental disabilities, sensory considerations are very important. When you're designing or retrofitting a home, there are several things to consider. Again, there's a Creating a Sensory-Friendly Home tip sheet on the website to figure out what you need to have a friendly and peaceful sensory environment in your home. We do encourage people to check out a number of these links and tip sheets for financial assistance on the DSO Housing website. To name a few, you will find information on the Registered Disability Savings Plan, or RDSP. This can help with financial planning for the future. If you already have an RDSP, you can withdraw money from this plan to help pay for necessary renovations. Another form of financial support is the Assistive Devices Program, or ADP. ADP can pay up to 75% of the price of an approved item. And if you're already an ODSP recipient, you may qualify for even more. So these are just a few, but there are other links for financial assistance on the DSO Housing website that can help people when they're considering retrofitting their home.
And to wrap up our podcast, one final question for Leanne. What should one do if there is no housing in their area?
Well, you're right, Val. In some areas, housing is limited or may not even be available. In these situations, some families have created the type of housing they need and want through partnerships and creative planning. Co-housing is an intentional community of private homes clustered around shared space. There are guides to co-housing and further information within the DSO Housing Toolkit, but I can tell you co-housing has been developed with seniors in mind, and this model is also viable for people with developmental disabilities. Another way to explore creative housing is to join a local family network or support group. If you're not sure what's available in your community, contact your local DSO. Or you can also go to a great website called Partners for Planning or explore Habitat for Humanity, as mentioned earlier in the podcast. Lastly, the most important thing to remember is you're not alone. We encourage you to reach out and find like-minded people or organizations that align with your housing vision and plans, even if you don't know what that looks like right now.
Thank you, Leanne and Kristen, for your insight. I hope that this podcast session has helped our audience to understand step 2 of the Housing Toolkit and its many benefits. We'd love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and suggestions for future podcast topics to info@dsontario.ca or via our social media accounts at dsontario.ca. Thank you for listening, and until next time.